Knights in shining armor fighting fearful red dragons are not fairy fancies from the ancient past. There's a true dragon story that involves you. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. You know, friends, if we could answer the one question today, really just one question, I think we would settle a multitude of other intensely gripping issues and questions. Is there a true church in the world today, and how can we recognize it? Now, this is what we hear people asking on every side. It's probably the most perplexing question confronting us today in the religious world. And by the way, it's a world that contains probably over 300 different denominations of Christians. In fact, we have that many in the United States alone. Now listen, in Acts 2:47 we read, "The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now the big question is this, what is that church? Is it visible or invisible? What test shall we apply in order to identify this church in which people can be saved? There are two outstanding facts we should understand in the very beginning of this message today. First, the true church cannot be identified by the name it might choose. Of course, there are scores of name combinations, as you know, but they don't reveal anything to us about the spiritual or the unspiritual nature of that organization. Now, the second thing is, don't feel that you must minutely examine every doctrine of those 300-odd Christian bodies in order to find the right one. There's a better way and an infallible way. Remember this, none of those churches can save you merely by receiving your name as a member. You have no guarantee of heaven just by joining any one of those organized churches. Now, friends, don't misunderstand me. I'm not against church membership. But I'm saying this, that the one way the church can help save you would be by teaching you the Word of God and showing you the daily path of truth as revealed in the Bible. Then what does all that mean? It means that if we don't find the church that holds the true doctrine of the Word of God, then we'd probably be better off not even belonging to a church. We could never subscribe to a doctrine that's not biblical and which we don't even agree with. But if we can find a church that holds the truth as it's revealed in the Bible, of course we should by all means join that church at once. But how can we find the church that holds the truth? Friends, first of all, find the truth as it is in the Bible. Search out the doctrine as you find it in Jesus. Follow the light that shines on your pathway from the Word of God. Don't join some church and then start studying their doctrines to find the truth. Find the truth first out of the Word of God where the acid test lies, and then search for the church that follows that doctrine and that truth. There's the method that cannot fail. By a quick comparison of doctrinal positions of churches with a clear Bible teaching, all the 300 can be examined very quickly. The measuring rod of God's Word will reveal in a moment what weeks of denominational study might fail to reveal. Now, we're going to be digging down very deep in the great textbook today, friends, the Bible. We've already found, of course, many doctrines that we could not refuse to believe and accept because they were there plainly spelled out in the Word. We've allowed the Bible to draw its own lines, as it were, as we have presented those facts here on the broadcast. And the result has been to draw our hearts more and more to follow only the Bible as the infallible guide. In our minds, we've made comparisons, eliminations, and decisions. And today we're going to set out on a thrilling search for the true church in these last days, which meets all the spiritual tests of the great Bible measuring rod. Now, if we can find one that does meet the requirements, of course, we should certainly join it and thank God for leading us to it. Now we're going to read the text that gives us a picture of the true church of the ages. It's actually symbolized by a woman, you may remember, in the prophetic portions of the Bible. And this woman in Revelation is clothed with the sun, the glory of the sun, and she has 12 stars on her head. And we'll read the actual description in Revelation 12:1. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." Now let's pause here a moment, friends. Remember one thing, that in Bible prophecy, a woman always symbolizes a church. Back in the book of Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1, God said, "I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. And then Isaiah 51:16 says, "And I will say unto Zion, Thou art my people." So Zion is the people of God, and God says that a woman symbolizes the daughter of Zion, or the church. All right, a fallen woman, by the way, would represent a false religious system. A pure woman, a holy woman, like this woman in Revelation 12, represents a true church. So the 12 stars, then, what would we say they would represent? Well, they would undoubtedly represent the 12 apostles who carried the pure gospel in those days of the church's history. The reflected light of the moon under the feet of this woman would seem to represent the fading glory of the Mosaic Age in contrast to the exceeding glory of the Christian Age when the light of Jesus' message shone into that church. Now, friends, let's trace the history of the true church from its very beginning, right down through the ages to the present. Reading on now from verse 2, beginning in verse 2 here now, "And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." Now, friends, listen. Who was that man-child who was to rule all the world and who was finally caught up to the throne of God? Well, there's no problem here, because there was only one man-child in all the earth who met that description, and it was Jesus. He's the one who was to rule all the earth. But who was it who tried to put Jesus to death when he was born? It says here that the dragon stood before the woman to kill that baby as soon as he would be born. Well, we know Herod was the one. The old Roman king tried to put Jesus to death. He sent out the orders for every boy baby 2 years and under to be put to death in order to exterminate Jesus. But, friends, was he able to accomplish that plan? Of course not. Joseph and Mary were warned in a dream, and they took Jesus and fled to Egypt, where he would be safe from the plottings of King Herod. But you know, Satan sought in every possible way to stamp out the truth through that cruel Roman Empire. When persecution failed, he developed a gigantic counterfeit system of amalgamated paganism and Christianity that has been a continual challenge to true Bible religion. The great war of Satan against the truth has continued down through the ages. When he found that he could not destroy Jesus back there as a little baby, of course we know what happened. He actually did have him crucified at last and sealed up in a Roman tomb, but Jesus burst out of that tomb, of course, and finally was caught back to the throne of God. Well, when he saw that he couldn't destroy Christ himself, he began to fight against the followers of Christ. He began to wreak his vengeance on those early Christians who held that pure faith of Jesus. And in verse 13 it says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth a man-child." So there it is. The church came under the anger and wrath of the dragon. Thousands of martyrs died at the stake or were torn limb from limb by savage animals in the great amphitheaters of Rome. But still the truth survived. And then the counterfeit system arose with its attempt to suppress the Bible and stifle the apostolic faith. Once more the dragon's power was manifested in the tortures and persecutions that held sway during that long period of the Dark Ages. But friends, what happened to the truth of God during those days? Let's read the answer now in verse 14. "And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she's nourished for a time, times and a half a time from the face of the serpent." So you see, the true church here, represented by the pure woman, had to flee from those persecutions and go into hiding. Now notice that she was in hiding for a time and times and half a time. But in verse 6, we read this, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days." So really, this is how long the woman was to be in hiding. And by the way, those people fled back to the very caves of the earth and hid in the rocks and mountains, holding on to their true apostolic faith, the true doctrines. And they stayed there, the Bible says, for 1,260 days. But listen, in Bible prophecy, a day stands for a year always. Ezekiel 4:6, God said, I have appointed thee each day for a year. So this 1260 days would actually literally be 1260 years that the true church was to be unseen as far as the world was concerned. It would be represented by those who hid out during those long dark ages, holding on to their true faith. You see, friends, the dark ages were for the 1260 years, and during that time the true faith could not be seen before the world. Now, this covers a span of time from the 4th century right down to about 1800. And true believers, being persecuted, had to flee back into the Alps Mountains and hide out. And several refugee groups were there, friends, holding on to the true faith against those false doctrines at the risk of their lives. The Waldenses, the Huguenots, the Albigenses are examples of those faithful ones who represented the true church during those years of suppression. Verse 15 tells how fierce the dragon sought to destroy them so that the truth might perish from the earth. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But now, what we've learned so far is this, friends, that the true church could not appear before the world until after this long period ended. During the time of this darkness, when the truth was hiding out in the wilderness, it could not be seen. But then it would come out of hiding later. The apostolic faith that gradually disappeared was to come forth and appear once again at the end of that long period of 1260 years. Just like the train disappears into a railroad tunnel, one coach at a time, so the truth disappeared into hiding a little at a time until during the 1260 years it was not to be seen. But listen, friend, just as surely as it went into the wilderness, just so surely it was to appear again. The same train that enters the tunnel must emerge on the other side. And so the fight to rise again was started by Luther, Huss, Jerome, and others. But the full truth was not to appear until after 1798, at the end of the 1260 years of darkness. Now, does the Bible tell us what the true church would look like when it came out of the wilderness? Yes, and here's the text, Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now there it is, friends. Listen, who is the dragon? Well, it's the devil, of course. And who is the woman? We found that was a true apostolic church. What does it mean to be wroth? Well, it means to be angry. What is the remnant? Well, that's the last part of anything, the very end part. And what are the commandments of God? None other than the Ten Commandments of God. And what about the testimony of Jesus? What's that? Revelation 19:10 says, for the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. So now we're prepared to paraphrase the verse. Listen. And the devil was angry with the true church and went to make war with the remnant, or the last part of the true church in the last days, which keep the Ten Commandments of God and has the spirit of prophecy. Now, friends, there it is. Very clearly spelled out. If you're looking for the true church, it's given to us here. 1, 2, 3. It would have to be a church that keeps the Ten Commandments, all of them, not just a few, but all of them. It would have to be a church that teaches prophecy and emphasizes prophecy. And it would have to be a church that didn't come into existence until after 1798. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.